Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the Bodegas Raul Perez Utrera St. Jacques Mencia from Spain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, Rob. How are you this evening?
I'm in exceptional shape.
Exceptional and shape are probably two words that shouldn't be used together, either to describe you or about yourself. You missed the mark there, buddy.
Unfortunately, Scott looks like a homeless person, but nevertheless, he's still into body shaming and judging people because he's a dick.
Well, I am a dick, and I am a homeless person, so...
Are you? Go. I am too, Scott. Maybe we could share a box sometime.
A box?
Yes.
That sounds inappropriate.
It was inappropriate.
Never mind.
It's a double entendre, I believe, or Kama Sutra, one of those things. It's Indian. Is that what it is?
Indian.
Is that impressive? Indian. I meant from the country, not that. No, because Native American is a proper term.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what you say off the air. We won't repeat it, but I don't even know what those words mean. I looked them up on a public computer, and I was arrested.
Probably having nothing to do with what you did on the computer.
Strangely enough, it was both. I took my pants off while I was looking at pornography on a library computer. Hardcore pornography or even soft corn, as they told me later.
Soft corn?
I involved a corn cob, let's just say that.
Okay.
It was Nebraska porn. It was interesting. I like that.
As opposed to Utah porn?
They kept all their clothes on in Utah, but the dudes with multiple women, but they just side-hugged, you know?
Side-hugged?
Yes, and then they'd go in another room, they'd do all sorts of dirty things, but they kept the door shut. Very frustrating watching Utah porn. That's right. That's okay, though, folks. Anyway,
on tonight's show, we have a wine from wine from Spain, and it's a varietal that we've had before that we've enjoyed quite a bit. The wine itself is Bodegas Raul Perez Utrera St. Jacques Mencia. We're going to call it Utrera because that's the biggest word on the label. But it is the Mencia grape.
Mencia.
Is it Mencia?
Mencia.
I think we did that. We talked about that last time. We've done one Mencia once before, and we loved it.
M-E-N-C, accent aigu over the I-A.
And that's
M-E-N-C-I-A.
One time, and then we never did it again. This wine, though, this Mencia, is mixed with small amounts of Bastardo and Alicante Boucher.
We love Alicante Boucher.
What adds a little darkness. With Mencia, the way you drink it is you treat it from a drinking standpoint like Pinot. So Pinot glasses, although the wine is, I would say, a cross between a very, very good Gamay and a very nice Pinot Noir. Somewhere in that range, maybe a little more fruit, even than Gamay, but still dry. They can be powerhouses,
yeah. Yet
aromatic. Great, 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 great wine. And they don't cost a lot. This wine is $21, and it's really, we'll talk about the review after a bit, but it's a really, really strong buy. This wine was aged in large oak vats, fooders, and also cement, which sounds ridiculous, but that both those things allow a little bit of breathing.
Yep.
The wine. So stainless, it's airtight. There's not much there, but there's a little more concentration that can come from the foudre and the cement vats.
Concrete garriques.
Yes. We like both of those treatments of aging. So I'm excited about this wine. Scott, I know you're excited about this wine.
Very much.
I know Wilfred's excited about this wine.
Well,
Or he's excited about something.
He likes saying bastardo.
I know, I'm excited about the library computer. I'm going to go back there sometime. I'll wear a mask. It's Halloween coming up in a month, so I could dress up. Oh, folks, remember my favorite costume. Remember what it was, Scott?
I don't.
Condom fingers. That's right. Jesus, remember that? Christ. It's a costume. You can go to your local gas station and do it. It's fantastic. You can just go as condom fingers.
Just on a regular basis.
No, it's just on Halloween, Scott. Just otherwise, Halloween. That makes you a pervert. Just
well, putting, you are.
You run around with a condom on your fingers. Anywhere you go, people would look at you funny. But Halloween, strangely enough, you're allowed to wear a costume. Now, they said it should be a costume of something, not an original. I said, this is an original costume. I was like, is Condom Fingers a superhero? What? No. Is he a monster? No. What is he? Is he like a princess or a prince? No. I don't know what it is, Scott. It's a state of mind, I think.
Oh, it's a state of mind, all right.
It's fantastic, folks.
No.
Yes.
No.
For this Halloween, don't let your kids dress up as condom. That's not good. No. But for adults, yes. It's a conversation starter.
Oh.
And ender.
You sure about that?
And ender.
I was going to say.
Don't shake people's hands, though.
Probably a stopper.
But don't get the lubricated ones. Get the one, because no one, you can get the cheaper ones. You don't want the lube, because if you do shake someone's hand, they won't like that. I'm just saying.
So.
What?
You're making decisions on the choices of condoms you wear.
Yes, Scott.
In your condom fingers outfit,
yes.
Based on the likelihood you might offend somebody by shaking their hand.
Oh, I'm considerate. That's the fact right there. I worry about other people's feelings. You don't understand what that is, probably.
Probably not.
No, you're
not while wearing condom fingers. I don't.
I know you're insensitive when you're a condom man. You always have to walk around. You get, you know, lube on people's hands, and they were, you know, you're well.
You're just so considerate.
Scott is known as Astroglide Man. That's a difference, yes.
Astroglide Man.
He dresses up as a bottle of Astroglide. It's, you know, he's very slippery.
I'm very transparent, too.
Yes, you are. Yeah. And
the purple's not my best color.
Oh, how do you know what color the bottle of Astroglide is, Scott?
Everybody in the world knows the color.
Do they? Not in Utah, they don't.
Or actually, Utah's probably where they sell it the most.
I don't know. No. They just use baby oil over there. That's, you know. But anyway.
Menthea.
Yes, we are going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the Otrea, Menthea. From Spain. Now, so you understand, the vineyards, this is not a single vineyard. So if you go on their website, and it'll be linked to this show, on our Libsyn site, it will say vineyard, and it will say various. So, various vineyards. Years of plantation, between 1900 and 1940. So these are older vines. So, and it's in clay soil. Exciting. And it's from Bierzo, is the
Bierzo,
yes, the region in Spain. But the region actually is Castilla y León. So that actually has that's a good producer of Tempranillo. There's a lot of great wineries that come out of that area. So.
Right on.
Alrighty. So the review for this wine, it did get critical acclaim from Robert Parker's Wine Advocate.
We like the Advocate.
We do. Yes, this is James Sucklane. I did not review this wine. But it's my understanding that Bobby Parker did. His friends call him Bobby.
Why are you calling him Bobby?
Because then? His friends told me that they call him Bobby. So I, 6 degrees of separation.
You get 6 degrees of something.
I met him one time.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I was outside his doorway, peeking in his windows. And he came out, and he had a shotgun. I left, but I did meet. That counts. His toupee was not properly affixed to his scalp. I remember that. And his trousers were off, but it was at night.
Had you followed him home with Barbara again?
Barbara?
Barbara from the bar?
No. Who's Barbara?
Barbara from the bar.
I don't know Barbara.
Well.
No. Anyway, nice joke, though.
Well.
They had not bottled the 2020 Altria yet, and we're still waiting on the labels. That's not important to your review, but they wrote that. So I caught an unbottled sample that was very tender and fruit-driven, primary and quite open. He used more stems and fruit clusters in 2020s, and since 2018, they have removed the percentage of white grapes that used to be included in the wine. It's a little more Mediterranean, with aromatic herbs and a more powerful palate. It's a useless review.
That's the review? That's terrible.
This is worse than mine.
So maybe we'll share with the listeners what they should expect from a Manatheum.
Yeah, please do, Scott.
From the wine follower. Primary flavors, tart cherry, violet, anise, blackberry, crushed gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely right in our wheelhouse there. Mm-hmm. On the nose, Manthea releases a floral bouquet intertwined with strawberry, raspberry, black licorice, cherry sauce, a hint of pomegranate. The aroma showcases its unique turbinoid subgroup, painting an evocative sensory picture.
I don't use the word evocative that much.
On the palate,
I should.
Manthea surprises with a peppery burst, balanced by tart notes of sour cherry, red currant, high levels of acid. Tannins range from smooth and moderate to light yet grippy. Depending on its region of origin, a mineral-like texture may be present, enhancing its peppery character. Mid-range in the dry scale should be medium body, medium tannins, medium to high acidity, 13.5% to 15% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
Five fun facts about Manthea. Again, this is from Wine Fox.
Manthea.
Manthea. It's difficult. There's a C there. How are you going to... Manthea. Manthea's parents are Afrocherio and Petora, both from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Manthea is often mistaken for a Cab Franc due to their aromatic similarities.
Yeah.
In the nose, when I stuck my nose in this, I'd think Pinot, not just because of the glass, but it's got a Pinot profile in the aroma. Mineral undertone of Manthea is often attributed to the slate and granite soil it grows in. Manthea was once known primarily for young, fruity wines, but now shines in aged, complex expressions. Manthea ripens early, usually mid to late September, which makes them less vulnerable to autumn rains. Ms. Puckett recommends that you can cellar Manthea for 10 years.
Well, good Mantheas, yes. Not cheap ones, but, if it's a $9 Manthea, do not do that.
We do well with Spanish wines, and... Mm-hmm.
This wine, theoretically, is capable of doing that, though, I would think. And regularly it's $30, but right now it's $22.
On wine.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the glass, it looks proper. A cherry crimson hue.
I mean, you could look at this and say it's a nice French Cab Franc or a Pinot Noir.
Yeah. A little dark for a Pinot Noir, but, from certain places. It might.
But on the nose, it has a funk you would expect to be a Pinot type funk.
There is a funk, but it's not Sherwood Forest funk. It's fairly light. But you have the elements of the blackjack licorice, cherry. A little garlic.
the funk, I wouldn't go barnyard, but maybe essence of forest floor.
Pine needles, dry leaves, that type of thing.
Damp, dry, damp leaves.
Pomegranate.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. This nose is really quite wonderful.
It's good.
It's not as
floral as I would like, but that's okay.
Just say yes. Just say yes. The first pass for me, the thing that frames this wine is that acidity.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a beautiful expression. It doesn't overpower the wine, yet it's the backbone of the wine.
It's a ethereal wine. It's so clean in a certain way. But,
yes, I like that one.
It is not what you will expect, folks. A few weeks ago, and I'm not sure, you know, time-wise, when, because, you know, this will probably be airing, I would say, sometime late October, November. That's why it's topical that Wilfred talked about condom fingers. But still, we did a Kirkland Barolo, all right? That Barolo had tannin and acidity and tightness that is similar in this wine. The oak structure is different, but the premise of the wine is similar.
You know this is an old world wine. You know this is European in its sourcing. A slightly tart cherry. I wouldn't even call it quite sour cherry.
This one, though, as opposed to the one we had before, the other Menthia we had, it was a little softer. It was the Flavium. It was the Flavium. And it was $9.99.
That's been a long time.
And ago. It was soft raspberry cherry kind of thing. It was a softer front palate. It wasn't like this. Different wine completely. Yeah, the Flavium was $10.
Yeah.
And it was soft and had wonderfully ripe fruit.
It had a little like yeasty thing, if I don't recall.
I don't remember that. This one, though, if you're blind tasting it, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say this is Italian Sangiovese.
Really?
Because of the acidity flavor profile. That's what I would mistake it as. I would never.
The acidity. Got it.
Yeah. Now, we're drinking out of a Pinot glass, so you wouldn't think that it would emulate that. And it's not going to taste the same way in a Chianti glass. But in a Pinot glass, yeah, you're going to mistake it for a Sangiovese. A good one.
It's just happiness in a glass. It really is. Folks, if you utilize wine.com, buy this.
Well, first of all, though, what do you drink? That's the first thing to start off with. Because this is not a level one wine. This wine takes knowledge and experience to appreciate and enjoy. We like this wine. We recently, like, we had that Barolo that had a similar flavor profile, that had a similar structure. It's unusual in its acidity and its tannin. And that's what we're liking. We're liking the sensory elements of that. It doesn't have this huge front palate of fruit, but I think it might in 5 years. It just doesn't have right now. It tastes like a young wine.
The balance of that mid palate where you get that little bit of, I'm not sure gravel, but it's along those lines. That races into the finish, And I tell you, the more I pull on this, the more I get a little, I think it's a little beyond peppery, maybe even a little smoky on the oaking.
No, there's a little bit of a almost a tar element, very faint in the mid palate. That's the smoky tar, very faint. And folks, if you like Italian wines, good Italian wines, not shitty, I mean good ones. If you love a great, great, excellent high-end Chianti, you want to try this. It's a different wine. It's from Spain, not Italy. But you want to try this. If you like a version of Tempranillo, because there's a Tempranillo that is a very soft, you know, subtle, beautiful thing. And there's some that are a little uglier. You'll like this, if you like that. If you like Spanish wine, this is a must try. Even though it's a departure from a lot of the different styles you're
really
going to find,
it's really still
a must try. And I don't think Mencia does not get enough recognition like Monastrell, Tempranillo, those wines do. Grenache, even those wines get a lot more respect and really just patronage. This wine though doesn't. It should, but yeah, if you like Italian wines, you really love Chiantes, you really love Italian wines, or even hell, I mean, or Barolos, not just you know. If you like Nebbiolo, you're going to like this.
I think it's...
Once again, and Nebbiolo, what do you drink Nebbiolo in? Pinot glasses. It's the idea. I mean, it tastes, and maybe not even so much Chianti. It tastes Italian, but it reminds me of some sort of cross between a Sangiovese and Nebbiolo. And that's high praise. And it should. This is a more austere, you know, ageable... Menthia, and in practice, it would be like that in reality, you know? One thing, though, whenever you go in for a sip, that's when the floral element hits you. It smells like dogwood, you know? It's just like a little... Right when you tip your nose in.
You would love this. I think your bride would love this.
Becky?
I think she would love this.
She'll be down here, leering over our shoulders here in a little bit to cut off a hunk of cheese. There she is. She always does that, folks. She doesn't want to be on air. What we're going to do is we'll just pretend like she isn't here. You know.
Except I just suggested that she would love this wine.
She might love this wine. But yeah, this is such a lovely product. Menthia is always lovely whether it's cheap and cheerful, which is it's very cheerful, or it's more expensive and serious. It's a serious wine for serious people. That's why Scott makes dick jokes all the time. Because he's a serious person.
I think you're insane.
What?
This is... Svelte. This is happiness in a glass. This is freaking fantastic.
It keeps getting better and better as it opens up.
The peppery, smoky thing.
Good wine. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This wine, as it continues to open up, is showing a softer palate up front, but still has that tightness, that grippiness, but it's elongated through the finish. Really is... special, but then again, we knew that this would be good. There isn't a Menthia that wine.com sells that's bad. They only sell like four, which is three more than what they sell in Bordeaux, but they only sell good things that are from there.
We need to drink more Menthia.
I mean, yes. Oh, by the way, Scott, the Triple B was here briefly to be mean to me, which is par for the course, but still.
You throw your children's clothes on the floor.
I didn't. But let me explain to you what happened. I opened a bottle for Becky last night because she enjoys it.
She was thirsty.
Well, it was a Turley Old Vines Inn.
Oh, yes.
Now, what happens with Turley, folks? And I think we've talked about this. Turley is a higher alcohol Zinfandel. All right? With those wines, you feel good, you feel good, you feel good. You just died. So you feel strong You feel like you can take on the world. You're happy. You're fine. Then the alcohol actually kicks in all at once and you become unconscious. And that's what happened to me last night on the couch. And I became unconscious. And I was unconscious for 3 hours. Got up at 1 in the morning. And was I went in and took a shower because I stunk. Took a shower, right? And I go in to lay in my bed and snuggle off and go off to Sleepy Town. But one of my children, probably my daughter, urinated in my bed on where I sleep. So it was a big circular urine patch. I did not know this until I laid down. I wasn't wearing a shirt, by the way, either.
It's just after you took a shower, too. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And so Becky says I woke her up. I woke her up because I went, oh, my God, I just laid in urine. I would have done that quietly. I don't know the what is the proper protocol for when you've just laid in a puddle of urine? And so at this point, you're like, okay, we need to change the sheets. But she was not getting up. So how am I going to change the fucking sheets with her laying there? I thought about just rolling her off the fucking bed and then putting the urine on her head. But
such a douche.
So I said, I guess I'll sleep someplace else. And so we have a spare bedroom upstairs. The bed has no pillows. So I found a pillow that was laying on the floor. There was blood all over. I was dried blood. I don't know what the hell is going on in my fucking house, man. It's fucking gross. Is this like a slaughterhouse for a Mexican drug cartel? I was like, what the fuck? But I used it anyway. And so there were like clothes, like literally a kid had gone through there and just fucked all this shit up. It was just like off the hang. It looked like shit, right? So I carefully picked it up as much as I could, seeing I'm pissed off, and I lay it in a pile. I didn't throw it. I laid it down in the middle of the floor.
Okay.
And went to bed. Uncomfortably, mind you, because it's not a terrible bed, but at the same time, I'm laying on a bloodstained pillow that I doubled over because it's very thin, and I could have went downstairs to get my pillows, I guess, but I figured somebody took a shit on them. Just put a shit on them, shit between them, and then made a shit sandwich for me. And anyway, so I go to sleep, but I go in the room and I shut the door, and George, the orange cat, we had another death. Beatrice, don't cry for her. Anyway, she died, and she's a cat, and that was George's best friend. It doesn't matter. So George was following me to the room.
It's trauma in the cat world.
Yes. I shut the door. He did not enjoy that. He meowed and scratched on the door, which he'll do. And so I didn't do anything. And then I just heard him stop, then start walking away, mewing, crying as he walked away. It's pathetic. So I go open the damn door. Meow. He turns around, runs in, and he hops on the bed, you know? And so he's wallowing on the fucking bed all night. I slept like shit. Oh, God. With my bloodstained pillow. And Becky's giving me shit for laying the clothes in the middle of the floor that were wadded up and probably shit and pissed on by our kids.
I remember when I predicted that you were going to have a blonde-haired child.
FML. That's all I could say. And she'd take a piss.
She's going to ruin your life.
And guess what? Triple B would have allowed her to lay in my bed without a diaper on. You know?
I think Maggie did this of her own volition. She said, Daddy sighed.
Probably.
And then held it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And then peed on your side of the bed.
Sure did. Somebody wiped their ass on a pillow, by the way, too, today.
Laughed herself to sleep, crying so hard. She was laughing so hard.
Pillow on the floor, and somebody literally had wiped their shit ass on the pillow.
No.
I swear to God, man.
That sounds like a Luke thing.
I don't know who it was, but somebody sat on this pillow after they shit themselves and just wiggled their ass on her fucking pillow.
Was it your pillow?
No, it was a throw pillow. It was a decorative pillow.
What?
I don't know. Man, it's been a day. It's just too much.
This was all today.
It was just today. And Henry was in our closet getting the laundry out of the closet, and he stepped in shit.
What?
I don't know. I think it was the same pillow shitter.
That's definitely a Lukey.
I don't know what it was. All I know is fucking fuck.
I mean, that pretty well sums it up. Fuck.
What the fuck, man? It's like, are you fucking animals? Do you not know I feel like I should go get a $60 litter box for their dumbasses. God damn. Oh, anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're not going to talk about my children shitting on pillows anymore.
Well.
But I might. I might
start. Any less. If I start, do any less either.
Folks, if I just start crying, you know why. Well, but it's okay. On tonight's show.
Off air, there's been some sniffling.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
I'm trying to hold it back.
Anyway, Scott, let's discuss some of the hidden, really dirt cheap values we have experienced on this show.
Sure.
Dirt cheap. One I can think of right off the bat are the things from Gordo Verde. So your the Monastrell, the Gordo Verde, those things are all sub 10. And that's really what I'm thinking about. Those wines are really, really good ones. One that occasionally, vintage to vintage, it's going to vary. Sometimes you just want to, you're better off, you know, laying your head on one of our pillows in my home. But sometimes you get something that's a decent steal, and that's Bogle's Old Vine Zin.
It's been a long time.
I know. One of us should drink a bottle of those.
It should be you.
I don't know. It should be you.
No, it's not going to be
me.
I
think that it could be you.
I've written Bogle off.
Well, that's because you've drank everything else from them.
Even Princess said, I'm not buying that shit anymore.
Not the Old Vine Zin? Really?
Bad.
Well.
Repugnant.
If you see a Enthusiast 91 for a vintage, that might be a choice. But one that is good is Protocolo.
Yeah.
That's $8.99. That's a really good wine.
There was the Spanish, I think it was a Tempranillo blend that I would get from Twisted Vine.
It helps if you know the name of the wine.
I can see the bottle.
Okay.
It had the mesh, gold mesh.
That's Anciano.
That was pretty good for $9.99.
It was $13.99.
I think they had one that was $9.99.
What does it say right out of there? I can't see from here.
There were a couple of them.
Yeah, and remember it was boozy?
Yes, but
yes,
it was good-ish.
But it was boozy.
We like boozy.
No,
we don't. How much does Steve like boozy?
I don't like boozy.
Oh, you're a...
No.
You're a lush.
Another
love boozy.
Another one is Le Clairon de Agnès. It's a little French red, Grenache mostly. It's a good little buy if you can find that. Normally at discount stores. It has an angel on the label, which is very exciting. Gentine is an Italian red blend from Banfi. That can be a good value depending on the vintage. It's, you know, we had a retrospective of that, two different vintages. One was kind of old, and the old one was really, really good.
It was good.
McManus is undervalued.
McManus is undervalued.
Because it's not very good.
No, McManus is good.
Is it?
We haven't had it in a while.
Yes, we haven't.
There was not a McManus that we didn't think well of.
Yes.
We didn't have one McManus that wasn't at least really good.
Yeah, but I never told you this. McManus paid me off to say all those things.
No, you got paid off by
anybody. They did.
You're not important enough for somebody to pay you.
Oh, no, I was very important. Artes de Pique is a wonderful little Spanish red. I believe they also have a Hoisinet. Remember that? Hoisinet? That little, is it French or is it Spanish? Oisinet.
I don't remember Oisinet.
It's a Cabernet. It's very, very good. If you see it on wine.com, that's something you should pick up. It's around $10, $11. The Flavium, Menthia is good.
Yeah.
Antu is another good wine.
I thought the Aristopirke was a little more than that.
It's like 11 or 12. That Aristopirke is $10.99.
I think there's two.
Oh, is that Chilean?
Aristopirke is Chilean.
It's Chilean, yeah.
Yeah. I think, yes, a little higher price point, but the two all-time great entry-priced wines. Absolutely, the initial vintages we got of Alpotago when it was like $11 or $12.99, that shit was ridiculously good for that price point.
Well, the Pinot is a good value. I mean, that's a really, really strong $12, $13 Pinot. The rest of them are so-so. I think La Postole is a better value in Cabernet than Alpotaguas are. But
And just, you know, year to year, they're a little different, too. Got a cat that's...
George, for some reason, wants to knock over glass bottles, so he keeps jumping up where there's no space to knock shit off.
He was trying to make time with my girlfriend over there.
Yeah, he was trying to make out with Ina Gardner, our picture of that.
The other one in that era of wines was the Louis Bernard. God, that was so good.
Well, you can find that. Oh, Michel Chapoutier, the Belarus.
Yeah, a little $13.99.
The same thing as Louis. $13.99. That's a really great wine for $13.99.
Belarus is like $18.
Well, that's because you like to spend extra. You know, it's $13.99. You like to give a tip. Just the tip. Yeah. Jinx, you can't speak until someone says your name 10 times.
Yeah, stop it.
What are some things, though, that are cheap, other than Bogle, that you see often that aren't that great of a value at the end of the day? Don't generalize. Be specific. We know California Cabernets generally are not.
I mean, we do care for the Kendall Jackson, but you're not seeing it in that price point.
But it's $20 bucks, yeah.
Yeah. What's their lower line to the Vintner series?
Oh, Avon? Yeah, that's just the Chardonnay. I've never seen that. That's the thing about the KJ. It's a very good wine, but at $20, you're going to pick something that isn't KJ. You're going to pick something that's a little more nuanced. It's a really good...
I'll bet in some markets it's still down in that $15 range.
It might be, but around here it's $20. And at that range, you're like, okay, but I can buy other things that are more exciting. 100%.
Well, you can just buy other things that are better for the money.
Yeah. I mean, or you might pay a little bit more. It's not if you're spending $20, it's pretty easy to spend $23 or $24.
I've always liked Chateau Saint Michel's different lines of white wines, but they have a Riesling. It's I would call it medium dry, but it was always $9.99, and that's not my favorite thing to drink, but it's like, it's a good little go-to for that price point.
Well, what about the Hoag Late Harvest Riesling?
Fuck, that was good, and that was like $8.
I mean...
You're not going to drink that every day.
No, because you have diabetes. But, it was for really sweet, ultra-sweet, but not coin white wine. If you're going to have a people over that don't drink, and they like things that are sweet, and they're drinking things from Idaho or Ohio or something that are gross... get the Hoag Late Harvest. They're going to like that. And you know what? If you just drink a thimble, you'll enjoy it.
If you like sweet wines, you like sweet wines. This is a really good one.
It had structure.
The rest. It had great fruit. Wasn't it green apple?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of tropical lifesavers. And it was seven.
It's fucking fantastic.
It's $8. Now, the rest of their stuff, warmed over dog shit. Oyster Bay, their Pinot is good, but the rest of their stuff is garbage. Literal garbage. Garbage. Their Merlot is gross. Their Sauvignon Blanc is not a good New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. It's not one.
It's fine.
Brandicott used to be good. Not anymore. Now it's bad. Especially what vintage was that? There was a vintage recently that was awful. Everything was just all lime. It tasted like limeade. Just like lime out of the fridge or one of those, not a fresh lime, like lime concentrate that Becky pours in her water that's gross. That kind
of
shit.
Isn't that one of the bottles that we didn't even get through a glass?
Yes, it was undrinkable.
I think it's a little more expensive now, but I think we used to be able to get Coburn for $11.99.
Yeah, I think it's about $14.15, but it's still a nice buy. But you can get
a great port.
$13.99 Penfolds Club Tawny. I love a Aussie port. Whiskers Blake Tawny port.
I always forget about that one.
That one's a good one. R.H. Bueller. Well, it's R.H. Bueller whiskey Blake. But R.H. Bueller, no, it's different. R.H. Bueller's different. R.H. Bueller's a good one. Those are all cheap. Aussie ports, Aussie Tawny ports are really, really good values. There was a Chateau Brignella a long time ago. I think it was an 8-year. I haven't seen it in years. It was good. Jonesy. If you ever see Jonesy, Tawny Port from Australia, used to be $10 a bottle. I bought a case one time. I went through all of it because it was that good. Presidential Port. It's from Portugal. It's cheap. Cheap. And it's hard to find. But when you find it, folks, you buy every bottle you can. It's $10-$11. Seriously. You buy every single bottle they have on the shelf.
Aaron's sister, Portia, was in a band. Very good band, actually. They were Jonesy, the original iteration.
But no, the Presidential Port, you buy every single bottle that they have. That's what I do when I see it. It's $10-$11. Tawny and the Ruby, buy everything. Everything. Unless I'm going to be there. And then don't touch that shit or I'll fucking cut you. Last time I saw it was in Niagara.
He'll fucking cut you.
I didn't see it in Myrtle this year.
When he lays his weary head down
on a
blood-soaked
pillow.
After taking a shower, laying in piss on his blood-soaked pillow.
Yes.
After he has stepped on the poopy pillow.
I didn't step
in
on
the
it.
Closet.
That was Henry. He stepped on shit. I just took a Clorox wipe and cleaned the shit out of it. I didn't give a fuck.
What about Bueller White Zinfandel? It's $10.99. Is that a value, Rob?
It's not. It's not a value. It's not. Scott will say things about Columbia
Bueller,
Crest.
Victoria Tawny, $15.99.
Scott will say a lot of good things about Columbia Crest.
It's yes, it's got some consistency issues, but we've had some nice bottles of wine from there.
One we don't recommend is Chateau Saint-Michel's Cabernet.
Yeah.
We've had even the good vintages of it. The wine enthusiast value wine of the year.
Was not good. But they've some of their vineyard specifics are
Indian
Wells. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Canoe Ridge. Mm-hmm. Freaking fantastic.
A wine
but
that
those aren't $10 bottles.
No. Under 20 but still in the high teens, Le Ecole number 41 Semillon. Or the Chenin Blanc.
That was fantastic.
The Chenin Blanc, too. Those are both good whites.
The Semillon was next level. It's significant.
Well, Le Ecole number 41 is not a winery that we have too much on the show. We almost had something called French Town on the show tonight, but we didn't. We did these instead, the wines I have lined up instead. But French Town almost was on the show tonight.
French Town
is odd. It's a $20 red blend, and they have 80% Bordeaux varietals, 20% Rhone varietals. So
okay. It
is the mutt of mutts. It's like $20.
The Le Ecole 41 French Town Red Blend.
Yeah, they only make 4,000 cases a year.
Okay.
So it's hard to find. I bought two bottles. It was like $21.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. We will have it sometime, but
well, I think we're off task or way beyond the 12.
We are, because there's only so many things that you can drink in that range.
And truth be told, many of those things are more expensive now. They just are.
They are, or they're hard to find. Sometimes.
I mean, since we've been doing the show, you're not going to find good stuff for $10 anymore.
You know, though, the J. Lore Syrah we just had not too long ago was $13.
Yep.
And you know what it tasted like? Syrah.
Good throw.
Which is a fucking shock for fucking J-Lore, but they didn't fuck with it.
Well, you're a hater.
Oh, I am a hater of J-Lore stuff.
You're a hater.
But that wine, that was fine.
Yeah, you can't hate J-Lore anymore simply because of that wine.
But that wine was fine.
It was really good.
And that's not a varietal that you'd think that they take seriously, but it's a good wine.
It's a varietal that, you know, I like to buy little oddball things like that that Rob's going to make fun of, and then maybe it'll be good.
Well, but those wines are interesting. I wish, though, wineries like that would take all the varietals and try to do them seriously. And it's just, some of them don't. They always fuck stuff up. Why is it that something cheap can't be done at least with a serious attempt to be traditional? I mean,
yeah.
I understand, we want to sell this and that, but there is a market for selling wine that tastes like it's supposed to.
Yeah, there is a market for wines that are actually good.
There's a market for wines that don't taste like wines mixed with a vanilla milkshake mixed with mulch.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad what some of these makers do.
We don't like that. And I don't like the taste of mulch. I like vanilla milkshakes, sort of, but I'd rather have a chocolate milkshake. But if I'm going to drink a milkshake, I don't want it mixed with my wine with mulch in it. So don't do that. But so many, they're like, oh my gosh, we have this $12 bottle of Cabernet. You know what we need to do? We need to take this spray bottle of potpourri and spray it with that. And then we need to put this vial of oak extract in it because that's going to be delicious. Then we need to take this really cheap vanilla extract and put that in it because people like vanilla, you know. And you know what we need to do then?
What do you need to do then?
I'm going to masturbate into it with Duke's mayonnaise because I understand it's the finest mayonnaise to masturbate with.
Jesus Christ.
So that's going to be in the bottle too. And that's Apothic, folks. Just so you...
In case you're...
You don't know their secret recipe? Yeah, that's their secret recipe.
Jesus
Christ. Because that's what you're drinking.
Why haven't we been sued yet?
I don't know. Allegedly. It's because I said that in a character, Scott. It's satire.
That time you didn't.
No, that this was a character, Scott. It's not me. I'm the Apothic salesperson. This is the way I talk, see? I'm almost like a 30s gangster, see? Yeah.
James Stewart, maybe?
Maybe so, but I use Duke's mayonnaise to masturbate into that bottle, see? And
see?
I put my mark on every single bottle, see?
It's your mark?
My mark, yes.
It's a funny thing to call your penis.
No, it's what comes out of my penis is what goes in that bottle.
Your mark.
My mark, yes. Many, many ladies across this country I've left my mark with. That's why I have so many child support payments right now.
Oh,
so.
Jesus.
Yes, and I make Apothic. No, nobody makes Apothic, folks. Somebody presses a button at a factory. Yes.
Hey, it's a skill.
And in the vat with Duke's mayonnaise.
It's a skill.
We have plenty on hand at the Apothic factory, folks. Lots of Duke's mayonnaise. We're their biggest supporter. They think we make sandwiches of that mayonnaise, but we don't.
They don't even have a winemaker because the winemaker's, you know, a group of IT professionals that program the PLC.
We have a foreman.
Mash the button.
We have a foreman. And we use a word processor from 1912. Yes.
Well,
you know. We press a button, Scott.
That's an expensive PLC.
It is, yes. It's a Texas Instruments computer. We can play... What's the game where you climb the mountains, Cliffhanger?
Oh, Jesus.
Yodeling. Oh, no, a goat. A goat knocked me down the mountain. Oh, no.
Cliffhanger.
Now make the wine. Press the enter button.
Bodegas.
You don't know the rest of it.
Raul Perez.
Raul.
Altria. Saint-Jacques.
Is something we are going to review as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Altrea. Scott, what is your review for this fine Menthia?
Happiness in a glass, folks. It's just such an enjoyable drink. From the way it appears in the glass to the wonderful nose. I would say this is one of the best noses we've had in a good while. It escapes me a better nose that we've had, Rob Durner.
It's a nice nose. It doesn't draw me back. There are certain wines that I've had that all I want to do is smell them, and then I drink them. I enjoy them too, but this wine doesn't do that. I prefer the palate more than the nose. It's a good nose.
I agree with that.
I wouldn't say it's a nose that I would remember 3 days from now. There are wines that I've had, folks, that the nose. One of them was like that Chateau Laroque, that cheap stuff that I had. It was like $15. That had a nose that you just wanted to sit there and just lose yourself in.
Well, on the show, we haven't had bang up noses in quite a while, and this is
a good nose.
It's a good nose.
It's a good nose.
But the texture of the wine, spot on. You know, your medium-ish body, the tannins. I don't think we talked about them enough. They're spot on. This is an ageable wine. I don't know if I'd go 10 years.
No.
However, I think a comment you made may have merit that with some time in the bottle, you may see some more different things to pick out from the fruit. You know,
yeah,
right now
the fruit's going to
wonderful. I wouldn't even call it sour cherry; just slightly tart cherry. It's just a wonderful, as this varietal should have that cherry profile, and it's just wonderful. It's not. You know, that sour cherry can be just too fucking much. This is perfect. This is, if I was going to make a sour cherry candy, I would call it tart cherry, and it would taste just like this. It's freaking fantastic. But that little smoky, peppery, oak-based finish, you thought it was like a smoky tar at the beginning of the beginning of the finish. Not quite gravel, but there's a little minerality thing there. It's a relatively complex wine in a simple and straightforward fashion. There's a lot going on there. It's balanced from front to mid to the end. But the best thing about this wine for me is that acidity that just frames the whole wine, and it's just there throughout. And it's complimentary to everything in the wine. I'm giving this a 90. I think I just can't. I could drink this every day of the week. This is a wine if the world was ending and you were stuck in a winery, if you were stuck in Bodegas, Raul Perez, Altrea, Saint Jacques, you could drink this the rest of your life and I'd be a happy man.
Well, it's on to me. Scott, of course, is wrong. Everything he said is wrong. He's wrong. He's wearing a Finley sweatshirt, which means he loves the city of Finley, which is wrong. When I'm reviewing this wine, I think of things that make me happy. I enjoy this wine immensely. I think that the
happiness in a glass.
I think the peppery notes are lovely. I think the fruit up front is balanced by the acidity and the tannin. And what really sets this wine apart a little bit for me is the fact that as more air has hit the wine, as it's opening up, it's showing more and more. It tells me that it has some ageability. And I think it's desirable. I just don't think Scott really captured the essence of this wine with his score. I think he's a little bit low. I'm giving this wine 92 of my points. I think this wine transcends a lot of different things, and I think it's going to be enjoyable by a lot of different individuals that drink many different wines. If you like Italian wines, you're going to like this wine a lot. If you like French wines, you're going to like this wine a lot. If you're not a douche, you're going to like this wine a lot. It's going to take a little bit to get into. You need to let it open up, decant it. But once you do that, you're going to find a wine that's going to open up a whole different world of wine to you. You're like, I didn't know Spanish wine was like this. You're right, because all you drink is Tempranillo, which is just one aspect of France, Spain.
It's the softer side of Spanish wine.
But it isn't. This wine has structure. It has some power to it.
But by softer, I mean it's a little more subtle. It's not that big in your face Tempranillo.
I think it has plenty of gusto that's right in your face. It's just, it's.
Keep in mind, folks, he slept on a blood-covered blanket last night, except it was a pillow, but he used it as a blanket.
I'm sorry you don't like this wine.
Oh, I don't like this wine.
I'm sorry you just don't see what I see.
I didn't sleep on a bloody pillow.
I wish I hadn't done that either. It was drops of blood, too. It wasn't like some. It was just... You know what the... Throw it away. Why the hell do we keep that pillow?
That's the question I would ask you.
Who's bleeding like that? I'm just weird. I don't know. It's not me. Somebody must have a bloody nose or was murdered. I don't know.
Did you count your children tonight?
Yes.
They're all there.
Yes. Even the shit smearer.
But you don't know which one it was.
Oh, I know which one it was. Luke was the shit smearer. Maggie was the peer. Because they were ratted out.
Oh.
Well, Maggie said, I peed in your bed. Fuck you. I get you, Dad.
She did it on purpose. That's freaking hysterical.
Yeah. But this wine is a great wine. I thought this was going to be a little softer, a little more fruity, a little bit, oh, that's really great, you know. No. This wine is serious. It's intense to a certain level. I think it deserves every point of 92. Not 93. 92 is top of the mark, though. I would do 92 to 90 in my scale.
Okay.
But, you know, you're on the lower side. You almost gave it an 89, didn't you?
Nope, did not. Almost gave it a 91.
Well, you should have.
It's 90. I'm fine with 90.
Nah, you're fine.
I think I just
enjoy the complexity. Maybe I'm giving it more credit for that than you are.
I think I don't know. It's got the ability to age as much as you do. No, let's put it that way.
5 to 7 years max. Okay.
That's where I'm hopeful it will, because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to find out, because I'm going to buy more of this and I'm going to set it back.
But
you know what? This is going to be one of those wines you buy with the intent of setting it back. It's going to be difficult, because you're going to look at it and you're going to go, I could drink that tonight. It's going to call it. Let's say I just buy 4 bottles, which I'm reconsidering that number as being too low right now. It's like this wine.
You're
going to
buy like 5 or 6 bottles of a wine you gave a 92?
It'll call your name. I think I want to drink that tonight.
Well, why don't you keep it here? That way it won't get drank.
Of course not. You'll drink it.
No. Scott, I have self-control. You can see that.
You have zero self-control.
How many things do I have that I've aged 20-some years?
A few.
Nothing gets drank early. I drink it exactly when I want to drink it.
This,
you know?
This we might want to drink earlier than 5 to 7 years.
If I say it's going to be held, it will be held. I'll just, you know, charge you a small fee for that. Holding it for you.
You're holding shit for me.
Somebody has to.
Might be holding this.
Nope. Nobody wants to touch your penis, Scott, for the last time, Scott. Nobody wants to. I mean, if you need that help, I mean, I suppose I could do that. But, you know, it won't take both hands. That's
You're
what I'm saying.
Pervert.
Just 2 fingers, pretty much, is all that would be. You know. And folks, if you're interested in condom fingers, there will be a link on the website or on this show to how to make your own condom fingers costume.
And folks, there actually will not be a link.
What? Why not?
There won't be a link to condom fingers on the website. But
maybe
there should be. I mean, people might not know. I can make a YouTube video about how to do condom fingers.
No, let's not do that.
The TikTok?
Yeah, I could do it. Instagram. Yeah.
Snap. Do the Snapchat.
Snapchat. Yes, that too. Yes.
It's not as long lasting.
Facebook, they're a bunch of bitches, but.
Meta. It's meta.
Is what? I could do it on X or Twitter, whatever that's called. Yeah. But you gotta do it on OnlyFans.
X.
I use Scott's account on OnlyFans. He's not a producer. He just likes to buy porn. He's pathetic. OnlyFans. He's like, I want to watch a masturbation video of that girl. Oh, it only costs $30 for 35 seconds of a video? Yes, I'll pay that because she's a content creator. I'll pay that gladly. Here's my credit card. Oh, 30 seconds. Oh, I could watch her stick a corn cob up her butt. For $50. Oh, I'll pay that. Yes, because she's a content creator. She's an artist. I'm supporting her. Oh, what's she going to do with those ping pong balls? I don't know. There's a cliffhanger on this corn cob up the ass video. I'm going to pay another $85 to see that. Oh, I saw the ping pong balls, but she's got a pool cue now. I can only imagine that's going to happen. Oh, I paid for the pool cue video. Oh, is that her friend, Brittany? What's she going to do? Oh, my gosh. She's not very attractive. Ooh, she didn't shave her legs. Oh, is that a man? It is a man. Oh, my gosh. Fuck it. $150. I want to see what she's going to do with man Brittany. Oh, that's going to be great. Oh, only 20 seconds of a video?
Scott spent $3,000 that night.
He did, but that was great. He enjoyed it. Yeah. Yet
somehow you know all about this.
Yes. He could just read your mind. You're a pervert.
Okay. Sure.
So, folks,
I don't think you can read my mind right now.
It's a short read. It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, sure.
And mixed with Hustler. If you ever seen that, you know, Will Spot run. Will Spot put a corn cob up his ass. I don't know what the hell. Scott's he's just infatuated with Nebraska pornography. I don't know why, but.
Anyway, folks.
Utah. No, that's very boring. Hole in the sheet. That's Amish pornography. You just look at the hole in the sheet. I'm like, damn it. I Googled it differently. Amish porn. And I saw two people that they said it was Amish porn, but I don't think they were Amish. I'm pretty sure they weren't. No.
You know what's hot on porn right now?
No, I don't know what porn is.
Bloody pillows.
Oh, my God. I know. Yeah, that's fantastic. Crusty bloody pillows are even better. And that is brought to you by Duke's Mayonnaise, folks.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu and apologize to Duke Mayonnaise. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.